Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Row, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning, and we welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program. Stilly, good morning. How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you, gentlemen?
We're awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Jared, let's begin on the Preds. Obviously, some big decisions coming up from Barry Trotz as to whether or not Andrew Brunette is going to be the head coach. It's interesting to hear him talk on your show because, like, he says some things with you that makes me think, all right, well, Brunette's coming back next year, and that's just going to be what it is. And then, like, in the middle of him saying that, he'll switch and he'll say, but I got to get through this evaluation, and I'm going to listen to what the players say. And I heard Friedman on with DVD yesterday talking about how it was a tough year between the players and Andrew Brunette, and they got to feel like they can trust the coach, and we'll see if they feel that way. So I don't know what to think as we sit here today on Friday, the couple days after the season is over, about what's going down with Andrew Brunette. Where do you stand of your expectation as what happens with Andrew Brunette as Predators head coach?
So when Trotz came on the show, I actually told you this, I think the day before, Robbie. I was like, I am not going to ask him, so are you bringing the coach back?
Right.
Because I felt like if I jumped into the interview and said, so are you bringing the coach back, he was going to give me some canned answer, you know, probably about an evaluation process and everything else. So I gave him my theory, which is that the Predators are a more loyal organization than 95% of the organizations in the NHL, especially when it comes to the coach, and that Barry Trotz was given an extended leash by David Poile. And so because of that, I think that he's giving Andrew Brunette an extended leash. And I said to Trotz, that's my theory. And Trotz basically said, correct me if I'm wrong, that's pretty good theory. And then went on and on and on about the tough year that they had and how Brunette's learning from it. And he's still a good young coach and all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
So finally, I just decided, I was like, well, it sounds like he's coming back. So let me just ask it. I said, so are you ready to say that Andrew Brunette's coming back? He's like, well, I can't go that far. And it was like, but it kind of feels like you did. So, Ian, do you still have access to the guarantee list?
Yes, I do.
Let me go ahead and put one in here right now.
Oh, boy.
I guarantee Andrew Brunette returns as coach.
Okay.
For the 2025-2026 season.
So who do you guys think the Preds coach will be next year?
Did you guys hear the interview? Did you not hear that and think, yeah, he's coming back?
I did, but I also, like, I put credence into, like, I think if you're him, you have to, like, these exit meetings have to play a big part of it because – like, I know people say it's exit meetings. What's the big deal? You know this. Like, things happen at these things. Like, you know, Ryan McDonough walked in there last year and said, hey, can you please get me out of here and go back to Tampa Bay? So I'm leaving the door open for that. But it did feel that way after the interview.
I actually kind of like the theory of he's probably bringing him back, but he's keeping his options open to see who shakes free. And then if nothing, maybe there's someone in mind, and if it doesn't happen, then okay. Then can continue on with this. But if Mike Sullivan, you know, for example, happens and it's like, okay, this is exactly the guy with this core of players that we need. Guy with skins on the wall, instant respect from these veterans, totally changes the math on things.
If I was the general manager, I would be taking Joe's approach to that, but I actually think Robbie's right. I think Barry Trotz has probably creaked the door open like maybe 5% of if Jonathan Marchessault and Steven Stamkos walk into these exit meetings and say, hey, like, Andrew Brunette's a good guy, but this isn't the right coach for us, that may play an impact. Or if, you know, I can't ever imagine Roman Josi walking into one of these meetings and saying, you know, we need a new coach, but hey, maybe he does. If that's the sentiment that Trotz walks away from those exit meetings with the veteran players, because Fedor Svechkov's not going in there to say they need a new coach.
Right.
But if the veteran players walk out of there saying, hey, we don't think we can win with this system. I know that, you know, they won some games last year with it. I know the Panthers won some games with it, but that's why they moved on to Paul Maurice. We don't think we can win with this system. Then I think that could have a pretty large effect on Trotz. Because the one thing I do know about Trotz is if the players tell him that they don't believe in the coach, I cannot imagine Trotz I said this yesterday because Derek asked me this question. He said, you know, do you think that the reason why Trotz was so quick to get rid of Hines but may not be quick to get rid of Burnett is because he hired Burnett? And I said, you know, I understand the thinking, but I don't think that Barry Trotz's pride is going to get in the way. If he doesn't think Andrew Burnett can do the job, then I think he's going to fire Andrew Burnett, even though he hired Andrew Burnett. So I think that there is a chance that the players, if they give Trotz the impression that they do not believe in the coach, then I could see Trotz making a move. I don't see Trotz sitting there saying, well, I could go get Mike Sullivan. Well, I could go get Spencer. Well, you can't get Spencer Carberry, but I could go get, you know, John Tortorella or whomever. I could go get Lane Lambert off of Toronto's bench. Yep. I just don't see Trotz doing that. I think it's more so if the players don't believe in the coach, then I think I'll make the move.
So we had Charles on our show yesterday, Jared, and he talked about Shedeur Sanders and quarterbacks basically 2 through 5 in the draft. And look, he thinks there's a good chance Jackson Dart may jump ahead of Shedeur Sanders. He talked about Milroe getting some buzz, which I guess adds up to him, you know, showing up to the draft in Green Bay. But as we sit here less than a week out from the draft, do you buy into Shedeur sliding, maybe being the third quarterback, maybe even being the fourth quarterback taken in the draft? What's your thought on all that?
Joe, if Shedeur Sanders is the fourth quarterback taken in the draft, will you then admit that he was a TV prospect?
No, that's a stupid thing to say. Are you still saying stupid things?
Well, I
you should
mean,
try
Charles,
to limit the stupid things you say. That was
Charles
a stupid thing that you
Robinson
said before. A
TV is coming on the program saying that he may slip to QB3 or QB4.
Great.
He may go in the second round.
Oh, my God. So a second round pick in the draft is a TV prospect. No kidding. Amazing
quarterback
analysis.
He is. So here's what I would say.
When you say dumb things, you should just try to distance yourselves from them, not bring them back up. But Robbie brought it up. So Robbie kind of trapped you in this. So I'll give you a little grace.
I mean, the TV debate the whole time was Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward. And now we're talking about is Tyler Shuck going to go ahead?
This happens every year, Jared. Carson Beck was the number one quarterback a year ago when everybody did their early mock drafts. That happens all the time. Will Levis, the odds are on him going number one overall 3 years ago, and he went in the second round. So now Shedeur was a TV prospect because you watch Stephen A. Smith all the time, I guess, and you somehow dictate your life by that.
And they don't retire jerseys for TV prospects.
That's right.
That's exactly
that's
who they retire
point.
Jerseys
very
for.
Good point.
TV prospects. That's exactly who they do. That's like Bill Cowher in the Hall of Fame because he was on TV.
He's infallible. He's got his jersey retired. Right? Yeah, nothing you can say about
him. He's in the Hall of Fame. Bill Cowher is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, it's because he was on TV. John Madden, again, was a fine coach. He won one Super Bowl coach for 10 years. He's in the Hall of Fame.
You don't think John Madden should be in the Hall of Fame? You don't think John Madden should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
As a coach.
He should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Not as a coach.
He should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The contributions he gave to this game as a broadcaster, he should have his own wing.
Well, that's a different argument. That's the contributor's wing, and he's already in that. But he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a coach. And I don't think John Madden's resume says that John Madden should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a coach. If that's the case, put Gruden in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Maybe he'll get there one day.
I don't know where to go.
You might get there one day.
Yeah.
Would you put Gruden in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Probably not.
No.
Okay. That's Madden's resume as a coach.
So that proves that Shedeur's a TV prospect.
I believe that NFL teams never looked at Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders similarly. But TV did, and so everybody kept talking about Shedeur number one, Shedeur number two, Shedeur number three. And because of that, he got hyped up. But, I mean, I read like what Albert Breer wrote at Sports Illustrated. Albert Breer said that he can't find a coach or a scout who will give him a first-round grade on Shedeur Sanders. I mean, I listened to what some of these guys are saying. I think it was Jeremy Fowler had a story at ESPN.com where he was talking to scouts and executives who said, we're not really worried about Shedeur Sanders' attitude. We're worried about the fact that Shedeur Sanders doesn't have a lot of talent. And that's because, again, Shedeur is a TV prospect. He played nobody in college, and he beat nobody in college.
That's not true.
And because of that, you know, he won some games. Everybody watched his games because they were on TV, because Dion is a very very skilled entertainer to get people to watch Colorado football. And so people knew him. And so TV was like, oh, yes, let's talk about this.
Yeah. So again, your beef is with the argument shows that, again, that are like your North Star of your entire life. Okay.
Mel Kiper Jr. is a TV draft analyst, and he has Shadur as the number one quarterback in the class.
Okay, so what does that mean? So again, your whole point. Let's go back to your initial point, which was Stephen A. Smith is friends with Deion, and he's just making this up so he can be his friend.
No, Lewis Riddick too.
So that's the same thing with Mel. So Mel's just doing this as a total ruse.
Mel is high on.
So again, this is you. Everything's a conspiracy with you. So
again, I just think that they're into him because he's famous. He's a TV prospect.
Okay. Good take.
So where's he going?
Where do you think he goes? That's exactly what I was going to ask. So, I mean, I guess Adam Schefter came out yesterday and said he could go anywhere between 3 and 31.
Yeah, thanks, Adam.
And, I know, right? That's like when Carson Wentz had that 6 to 12 week injury. So he could
go. I think Shadur Sanders could go anywhere from 1 to 105.
So he can go anywhere from 3 to 21, but not to number 9. So everybody's saying the Saints like Jackson Dart more than they like Shadur. And then I saw a report that said that the Steelers met with Shadur Sanders and the meetings did not go well. Now, I want to remind everybody that 3 years ago, the only thing that the media knew going into the draft was Mike Tomlin loves Malik Willis.
Yeah.
That was all the chatter. I remember Todd McShay.
Well, the Colts loved Will Levis. The Saints liked Jackson Dart more than Shadur, et cetera, et cetera.
So when I hear that, when I hear, you know, the Saints are not going to go with Shadur at number 9, I'm thinking, hey, might go number 9 to the Saints. Because this time of the year when you hear, oh, yeah, they don't like
it. How could a TV prospect go number 9? That makes no sense. He's a TV prospect, Jared.
Well, maybe the Saints don't like him. We don't know.
We'll find out.
He's not a real prospect.
Again,
he's a TV prospect.
I swear,
Jared. Charles, people are. Are you saying that Charles is wrong?
No, Jared. The point is,
are you saying that Charles?
What
Robinson
I'm saying.
Know what
what
about?
I'm saying.
Are
Jared,
you saying that your friend, your best buddy, your former roommate?
No, you.
A guy who
you
used
you,
to
are
share
you unable, he was
Shabbat
never my roommate.
With.
He was never my roommate. And also, no. Two, what I'm saying is that you say dumb crap and then keep saying it. He's not a TV prospect, Jared. He's an actual NFL prospect who will be drafted at a pretty prominent spot in this draft. I don't think it's because Stephen A. Smith is friends with Deion.
How many quarterbacks were there before Shadur?
Who cares? I'd take him first.
I swear if Milroe goes before him, that'll be interesting.
So is it because I like Deion? I think the other day Jared said that I was blaming Nico's dad because I'm pandering to Nico. Huh? Yes, I really hope that Nico gives me an amazing interview from UCLA, Jared. Like, you have so many
great
theories.
You are a national college football writer for The Athletic.
Sure. Yeah, and let me tell you something.
You maybe need to
another
put
interview with Nico would really be a big deal. It'd be a really amazing thing if I could get that.
If you were such a good reporter, Joe, you'd get the sit down with Nico's dad.
Yeah. Oh, believe me.
He'd be willing to do that.
I've told him before that I'm coming to your house, so I'll see you on this day. And he's like, oh, actually, we're not going to be there. Believe me, I've tried.
Have you actually said that to Nico's dad?
Yes. I said, I'm coming to your house on Saturday.
Do you have Nico's dad's phone number?
Yes. You want it?
Why don't you just go there now?
He just left his house yesterday. His video from Knoxville. They packed up. They're gone.
So it's a different. So dad lived in Knoxville when Nico was in Knoxville.
Yeah.
So is dad gonna live in L.A. or is he gonna live in Fayetteville?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I don't know.
Or is mom gonna run kid number 2 and dad's gonna they're gonna play man to man defense? What's going on?
It doesn't matter. Nico's an adult, you know, so he makes all his own decisions.
I agree with that.
Per Jared.
I agree with that. Nico is an adult.
So many good
things. And if Nico was an adult and in charge of his own business, then he wouldn't have lost himself $2 million doing this bullcrap.
Oh, I agree that he should have stood up to his dad. I absolutely agree. He did not.
Really covered a lot of ground.
We did.
Well done, Stilly. Nice job.
Thank you. And I feel right about most of it.
That's good. That's good.
No surprise there.
Stilly, we'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
Jared Stillman, our guest. We'll react to what old Stilly had to say there coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Win an exclusive Keith Urban experience. Text in the keyword Keith to 615-737-1025 and receive a link to sign up for a chance to win all-inclusive tickets to the Eurostone Club at Bridgestone Arena to see Keith Urban. Plus, also a chance to win $1,000 in cash as well. Again, text in the keyword Keith to 615-737-1025. Appreciate Stilly for being with us in the last segment.
So
Joe, you have some notes that you'd like to go over here.
I don't like Stilly coming on here and, you know, trying to, like, I mean, you know, Ian is our producer. Ian is part of Robbie and Rex.
Yeah, he's putting me to work.
Stilly's trying to come in. Yeah, give me my guarantee. You play the guarantee. No. You worry about that with David Reed, okay? You guys deal with that yourselves. I don't want you on our text line. You know, you keep yourself over there. We're over here just fine. But here's in seriousness, though, like the whole TV prospect thing. Let's remember that, see, what Jared does, he has a terrible take, and then he'll kind of sanitize it, you know? The take was that Stephen A. Smith is buddies with Deion, and so he's just talking him up, and that inflates, and then he becomes this fake, again, TV prospect.
Yeah.
Shedeur Sanders is a legitimate NFL quarterback prospect. I would take him if I was taking a quarterback first. I also wouldn't take any of these quarterbacks in the first round, but that's just me. I'm not yet an NFL GM. But this is what happened. This is where Stilly, there's a nugget of truth in terms of media and real evaluations. So think about last year and last class. What did everybody want to talk about? Is it Caleb Williams or is it Drake May?
Yep.
Media definitely, especially the argument shows, love the, is it this quarterback or this guy first? They love it. So that's an every year thing. And sometimes it's actually a thing. And then last year, as it turns out, people were more talking about Drake May tumbling a year ago once we got to deeper evaluations. That's the reality of the situation. So Shedeur Sanders is a real prospect. Again, it's not a great QB class. So if Shedeur Sanders goes number 9 or goes number 30, is the second quarterback who goes or is the fifth quarterback, it doesn't matter. He's a real prospect. The media like to argue over two quarterbacks. And in this case, once you get into deeper evaluation, the film told people, yeah, Cam Ward is clearly the best quarterback. That's all. That's reality and, you know, human conversation. And then there's a ridiculous take that then continues to be recycled. I mean, I was trying to let him just put that one to bed. I'm glad you brought it back up, though.
I didn't say anything about TV prospects.
Well, no, I know.
I just asked him about the quarterback drop, and he brought that stuff up.
Well, right, but as soon as you, you know, that you're going to trigger him, you know what I mean? As soon as you bring that up, he's going to, you'll bring his take back up. So
I'm just glad we got yet another display of the long fuse by you in the last segment. It's good. It's getting longer by the day. I mean, you've dealt with the Real ID stuff this week, and
hey,
now Stilly, it's good stuff.
The Real ID, I swear to you, was actual long fuse. I mean, you would have been very proud of me. I just smiled. Said, thank you. I won't.
Thank you.
I almost cried.
I'll see you tomorrow, I suppose.
Maybe the next day. The long fuse sometimes is in play. Stilly has a way of, you know, getting right to the point there with the lighter.
Cam on the text line did say, hey, Joe, what's that number for Nick Iamaleava? Vols fans asking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, we could do a little auction here. I mean, I have no problem. Yeah. You give me enough. I mean, I can see. I'll give you like 5 of the 7 digits and leave 2 open, and then you can just kind of, you know.
I did see, I think it was yesterday on Facebook, of a Knoxville news station apparently like was outside their house. Like, just watching them pack up a U-Haul. So there was
that. Is that right? Yeah. Okay, I was wondering. Interesting. Yeah. Wow. Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, wish them well on their travels.
Are leaving. Yeah.
they're out of here. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll get to the Charles Robinson take on Shedeur Sanders and the quarterbacks 2 through 5 in this draft coming up next that he had on our show. Some really interesting stuff. Very interested to see how this plays out. Less than a week from now, as the NFL draft is underway next Thursday, we'll do that. Coming up next, we got Teron Davenport coming up to begin the 8 o'clock hour. Weekend winners coming up at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in today to 102.5 The Game for Vanderbilt baseball as the Commodores take on Georgia at Hawkins Field. Pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at the Game Nashville .com. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz is always about great service. So we had Charles Robinson on our show yesterday. Less than a week out now from the NFL draft, the first round beginning next Thursday. And he had a pretty interesting take on how this could go at the quarterback position as it relates to quarterbacks 2 through 5 in the draft behind Cam Ward. Here's what Charles Robinson had to say on our show yesterday.
So first things first, like, got to dispel what kind of happened with the Giants, because I think it projected, you know, all the Giants are having a workout with Shadur. It's so late. We're pressed up against the draft. And, you know, is this ownership? Is ownership stepping in and pressing the pick at 3? No, it's not. This was on the books, guys, for a while. And it was because Shadur told teams, look, I want to get the pro day in, and then I can do private workouts. I'm not going to do private workouts with, you know, 15 teams or whatever, but I want to do my private workouts after the pro day. Well, the pro day was late. You know, we're talking about all the way into April for the pro day. And then by then, you know, you have a number of teams that are like, okay, just from a schematic standpoint of like who we can get together to put on the full kind of pro day we want, our window is like mid-April, which is why you're seeing the Giants bring in 3 quarterbacks, Shadur, Tyler Shuck, Jalen Milroe in this window. It's not suddenly indicative of, oh, they're pressing the panic button on the 3rd pick and, you know, they have to find, you know, Shadur now being forced in there by John Mara. That's not the case. It was just scheduling. So now it doesn't preclude, I think, the Giants are moving up out of the 2nd round and trying to get a quarterback who may be sliding in the 1st. But I will say this, we did the all juice team and you end up talking to a lot of executives, a lot of scouts, a lot of, you know, personnel people, some coaches, and the quarterback stack from 2 to 5, which would be, you know, Shadur, Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck, and Jalen Milroe. There's a lot of really differing opinions.
So a lot of differing opinions on the stack from 2 to 5 as it relates to the quarterbacks there. And he talked about it, like, you know, Jackson Dart may end up being the 2nd quarterback to go. Jalen Milroe has generated some intriguing buzz for some teams, which, you know, we reacted to him attending the draft in Green Bay. Like, what does that mean? Well, maybe he will go in the 1st round there. So what did you make of Charles, what he had to say on the quarterback stack 2 through 5 and how up in the air that may be heading into the NFL draft?
Yeah, well, first of all, if you're like a Titans fan, you hope this means, you know, all those other QBs or whatever, but just because it's a bad class, see, we have the guy. We have the one guy who of this class is going to work out and be great, and he's legitimate. He's clearly the best, and he's, you know, he's going to be a franchise quarterback for the Titans. And so the gap suggests something good about what's happening for the Titans. Yeah, as far as the rest, I mean, it's like I watched very little Tyler Shuck. Sorry to Stilly and your Louisville Cardinals, but yeah, you know, I obviously there's some buzz about him this week. You know, people are, but this is where when you get to this part of the process, like you go through all the things, and again, every year there are. Quarterbacks who are inflated, and then the season happens, they fall. Carson Beck went from he's going to be the number one pick to, yeah, he better go back to college, right? Then you go through the season, and you have a certain perception, which, again, is part of, like, Shadur and Cam Ward being 1-2 and all that stuff. Some years you still have a 1-2, but like last year, Jaden Daniels jumps up there, and it's like, man, he'd be like, you know, he's, again, Drake May, people thought was going to tumble. So you have these different points of evaluation where everybody gets through the film, everybody does the interviews and all that stuff. When you get to this point, I really suspect misinformation. This is where it's like, so wait, why now is like this point here in April, this far into everything, all of a sudden this Tyler Shuck stuff is he's going crazy?
Right.
Why, again, the Levis stuff that happened a few years ago. Why is that? That's where you start to get to the, okay, are people trying to put some stuff out here to throw a little misdirection? But, I mean, I could see, and I saw a lot of Jackson Dart in college. Personally, the game that sticks out in my mind is like that Florida, a terrible loss, yep. Or else they're in the playoff, and he was bad in that game against, you know, an okay Florida team. But I guess I could buy it. I could buy any of those guys. It seems to me like if I had to pick, I still would predict that Shadur would be the second QB taken. But if he doesn't go to one of like the Saints or to one of those teams up, or somebody move up or whatever, yeah, it could be a tumble. And look, it could end up being that this bad class that everybody's talked about, all of a sudden you end up with all of them sliding back. Also, with this position group, sometimes you just have a run on these guys, and the middle row part of it is the most fascinating to me by far. I don't know that I'd want my team to do that, but I hope somebody does it because I think it would be fascinating to see. You know what? Let's build an offense around what this guy does incredibly well, and that's going to already put defenses in a bind, yep. And then what if he can get some consistency throwing the ball?
Well, on a couple teams we brought up, not just on the Milroe front, but just maybe teams to keep an eye on in general that could either do something in the first round or maybe move back up to go in the first round to grab one of these guys. Because one thing Charles also said was, you know, more and more teams are looking at, like, if you're going to take a quarterback and let's say you think somebody's available or going to be available at 35, 36, 37 and is a quarterback, well, would it make more sense to trade back into the first round if you're one of these teams, draft them in the late first round so you've got that fifth-year option at your disposal at that point? Does that happen in this year's draft? We'll see. But, like, the Rams, so they just went through this saga with Matthew Stafford, and Stafford may end up sticking around there for another 2-3 years and playing football. But, you know, they're at least arrived at the point with him where he is reaching the end in L.A. So do they want to get out ahead of that and have somebody sitting behind him? And then the other one that we talked about was the Dolphins, right, with Tua and the injury stuff and what exactly are they doing? Like, what is the Jalen Ramsey stuff signal? And if Tua goes down again, do you want to have a younger quarterback that you're kind of molding behind him at this point? So there are some teams that don't necessarily need a quarterback but could get out in front of quarterback to keep an eye on this year.
Yeah, that's super interesting. The fifth-year option thing, John McClain, always a great interview. I really enjoyed his interview with Chase and Big Joe today, and he made the point, and it's a good point. It's like we talked about all that with Levis, right? And we never got close to the point of caring. It doesn't matter. It's like you pretty much know what you have. If you need the fifth-year option, then you probably don't have what you're looking for. And you would have signed him already to an extension. The one example of that not being the case is Mariota. But, again, it was the same thing. It was like, okay, how about pick up the option instead of extend him? You know what I mean? So, to me, it's like –
but I guess I think it could be different from this point. Like, look, it worked out for the Packers, but Jordan Love sat for 3 years. And he was going into, like, where you had to make a decision to pick up his option, like, before he really played. So, like, if you're the Rams or the Dolphins, like, you know that Stafford's going to be your quarterback – for the next year or two if you're the Rams, or that Tua, hopefully, if he stays healthy, he's going to be your quarterback for the foreseeable future of the Dolphins. But by the time it comes around, like, you may need that fifth-year option with one of those guys.
Yeah, that's true. If the clock doesn't start until later, then that makes it useful, I guess. But, you know,
But by and large, you're right. Like, if you're drafting a quarterback and they're playing early, like, you got a pretty good idea before the fifth-year option rolls around.
Yeah, and again, if it's like Marcus, it's like, well, okay, Marcus, let's go. Fifth year, this will finally be the one. All right, Ryan Tannehill's a starter.
Yeah, it didn't last very long in that fifth year, did it? Just like, well.
Six glorious games. To be fair, boy, were they bad. Were they bad around him? And then all of a sudden, were they good around Ryan Tannehill?
They were very good.
That's
like, wow, is this the same team?
That's
great.
That is one of the wildest NFL seasons, really. Like, if you look at, like a team, like the worst offense in the league, and all of a sudden they were an unstoppable offense in the AFC Championship game in the same year.
You know what the most exciting part about all this draft talk is right now? Is that 1 week from today, we will be reacting to the first round. It will be over. Cam Ward will probably be a Titan 1 week from today.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, me too. Let's get to it.
Yes.
That'd be nice. We got the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock taking your thoughts. In the meantime, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the draft, Don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on the Game Nashville Sports Network. We're broadcasting live from Twin Peaks in Madison on April 24th. And on Friday, April 25th, we'll be live from Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar in East Nashville. Coverage beginning at 6 o'clock each day, presented by Hardee's, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Twin Peaks, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, Shane Co., and Professional Home Improvements. Thursday will be on 102.5 The Game. Friday will be on Sports Talk 830. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Will you then admit that he was a TV prospect?
No, that's a stupid thing to say. Are you still saying stupid things?
Everybody says to me, Corso, you're stupid. You always pick the wrong team.
The hell with Lee Corso!
That dog is ugly!
Let me say this about the great state of Tennessee. Just come on down to Tennessee, where there's no prostitution. They're all volunteers.
So that proves that Shadur's a TV prospect.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode.
All right. That quote was from who? In what context?
I don't
context?
Know what guy that was, but I have heard that before.
My goodness. I hadn't heard that one before. Well, first of all, again, Ian reading minds. I'm actually not ranting about Lee Corso. I do want to mention, though, because if we're not going to – we may not get to it otherwise. Lee Corso hanging it up. I think that's a great idea to do one game and kind of have a send-off at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
So you don't have a whole year of, you know, everybody giving you like a rocking chair and everything. And, yeah, it was getting time, of course, for Lee Corso to retire. But, man – Guy was pretty great. Guy's been a pretty great thing in college football. So I don't know how other people feel about it, but man,
I agree.
He gets showered with love. Lee Corso. I mean that you know, that game day tradition, which I think the first time he did it was what, 96 or something like
so,
that?
Yeah.
96, 97, something like that. I mean, think about that, man. And I do wonder who steps into, and I understand like Pat McAfee is kind of already the funny mascot guy, you know, on game day. But
Saban's wearing the headgear from now on.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, my
goodness.
Just put
it on.
That would be amazing. Yeah, do they continue to try to do the headgear thing?
I mean, you might need to just let that one go. I mean, it's a cool thing, so they're probably going to keep doing it.
Because the fans –
that's his thing.
The fans at those places really get into that, right? They want to boo if you pick the other team.
I think it should be Saban. I'm sure he'd love it.
I would much prefer Saban over McAfee, who already has a mascot head on. But I don't know if Nick will go for it. But anyway.
I mean, live a little, man.
I agree, man. I absolutely agree. But I want to – my topic here, and I'm glad, you know, we don't have a lot of time, and it's fine. It's a quick – angry plea to, I guess, to all the communities around here. If you have, you know what? Let me tell you a story first.
Okay.
So we have two dogs, and one of them really likes to. If he gets out, he you never know where he's going to go, and that is Gus. Quinn pretty much comes back. Both of them come in and poop and pee in the house, but because only I walk them. But Gus will go, he'll run around and, you know, and sometimes we've had some scary situations where it's like, Gus, and we're running around there. Not too long ago, we had one where we thought that he had gotten out. And, like, it was getting scary.
Yeah.
It was rainy because, you know, it was a stormy night. As it turns out, like, we're all in the neighborhood late at night yelling his name. As it turned out, he was trembling underneath the bed because of the storm. So, Gus, we get scared, you know, when Gus gets out. So a couple weeks ago, we're sitting, you know, Katie and I are sitting downstairs, and Caroline comes in and said, Gus got out. I'm like, what? Yeah, we got to, you know, Gus got out. Okay. So, all right, we need to go start to go look for him. And then her brother gets a text, says, please, you need to come outside and help me find Gus. Okay. So she tells him that. And he won't go. And I'm like, well, what the heck is happening? He's like, oh, my, there's all this hall, the yelling and everything. So Gus was up in her room. Gus was fine, and she knew it. There's a stupid game that these kids play. Have you heard of this thing called Assassins? Has anybody heard of this? I don't know if it's just my school district or if it's – I don't know. But it's this water gun game, and they, like, play for money. So she was selling out her brother to these other kids at the school, so he would go outside and get shot with a water gun. Playing with our emotions about our little Gussie being outside. This is a sibling selling – I know! And it's I'm telling you, it's a thing where it's like, well, he ended up getting squirted, like driving home from school. Kids were hiding at our house and jumped out of the bushes and
with super soakers.
Yes, with super soakers. This needs to be banned across the board. If you're a school administrator, I don't know how we can do it, but we need to come together as a community, as school districts.
Yeah.
As law enforcement, it's stupid. And these kids, they're playing for money.
That's
what we're doing here.
It's like, wow, what can we do to make sure people come outside? Let's talk about the dog getting out. Okay.
Cool. I mean, I will say, I was like, because, you know, usually I probably take her side, you know, with him and argue. I'm like, you just sold your brother out, man.
Yeah, that's
that is tough. And
that blood bond did not last very long.
Because I was like, he was like, I'm not going out there. I'm like, Gus is outside. What are you talking about? No. I'm like, there's no way she
fell right
did
into
that.
The trap.
I'm like, there's no way she did that. And then all of a sudden, I look at her face, like, oh my God, you did.
You did it
for Assassins. This has got to end. So if you've heard of this or whatever it's called, these kids trying to shoot each other with water guns, we need to ban it as a society.
You know, I am pleasantly surprised that, like, water guns and outdoor activities are still a thing with the youth of America, you know?
I suppose that's true.
No?
Yeah, I suppose that is true. They are at least outside doing things.
This is the first I've been made aware of this, so I will be on the lookout for this. Apparently that's sweeping our community.
Billy from Bellevue says, we played Assassins High School, but you had to take a marker to the neck. Those Sharpies could cut.
There you go.
That sounds...
Somebody says this Assassins game has been going on for 10 years. Your boomerism is showing. Boomerism.
I don't doubt it. I don't know. This is the first year that it's really infiltrated,
I've never heard of this.
Infiltrated our home. So I wouldn't doubt that. But, like, yeah, it's gotten way too far. It's like, I mean, seriously, like, I could give you a lot of examples of stupid stuff that's happened. Like, one night, Brennan is yelling at one of his friends who's on his team because his friend's at Sonic. What are you doing at Sonic? Like, oh my, you can't go out in public. Really?
Crazy stuff.
God, go play. Throw the Nerf football around. Yeah. Yeah, something.
615-737-1025, our phone number. TD will be with us coming up next. We're less than a week away from the first round of the NFL draft. We'll get into all things Titans with Teron Davenport, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.